Molas, 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 molas. Molas, 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 molas. Molas, molas, molas.
Come and get less with me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rugbyers Podcast, episode 117. And as the Six Nations crawls ever closer, we are joined by a man who's going to bring his radiance and warmth to these icy cold times, Mr. Archie.
Stop right now. Thank you very much. I need somebody with a human touch. Right. Hey, you, okay. Clodagh's always on the run. Gotta slow it down, baby. Gotta have some fun.
Oh, my God. Full of energy and warmth as well, yeah.
Dude, you're really getting into Spice Girls lately.
Really?
They had some absolute bangers, yeah.
Really,
because
did.
I'm not going out to Inferno's because I'm doing Dry Jan. I'm going about it, but I've just done another week.
We get
I've just been listening to some of the classics that I love listening to in Inferno's. And then I just went down this Spice Girls hole. And my God, they were bloody good.
So
some of their lyrics were... You know,
cutting
sensational.
Edge. Yeah, cutting edge. So you've been enjoying
this. What a band. I would put them up there with the Beatles. They were like the female version of the Beatles.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So you've been enjoying Sober.
Who's my favourite Spice Girl? Had to be Posh.
Really? Why?
Yeah. Well, I think my parents would have liked her the most.
Okay.
It would have gone down well. And as we've seen, she's a class A girl. Yeah.
She's incredibly classy. So you've been enjoying Sober Spice Girl sessions at home. Still doing Dry Jam.
Yeah.
Feeling good, obviously.
Oh, mate. I mean, amazing. You can see my skin is radiant. I honestly have not had this much clarity in forever. I just have really embraced.
You're so clear with everything, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, I was playing rugby this weekend, Clodagh's.
Of course, Winchester Old Boys,
out there for the Clapham Falcons Cup game against Winchester Old Boys. And, mate, I was on fire. Pulling strings, opening up people into gaps. My game was incredible.
So you got
not drinking. I was just seeing things out there, you know, before they happened.
Right, okay. So you got the win, I'm guessing.
It confirmed the case. I could have played at a much higher standard.
You got the win?
We got the win. We took them apart. I mean, they could only field 13 players.
We
won 35-7.
Oh, okay.
I think a lot of their team weren't doing Dry Jan, put it that way. So shame on them, really. Shame on them.
Well, I can imagine they were quite good fun afterwards.
Yeah.
Did you get involved? I mean, surely now the rugby is back, you attempted to drink.
You think you miss it. Because everyone's in the clubhouse. There are a lot of fun and games. A couple of our guys in our team, you know, I frown upon it, but aren't doing Dry Jan. And they were getting on it. And, you know, people were saying, do you miss it? And I was like, I will be honest. Yeah, I did miss it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, there is nothing more than I love a cheeky little bum funnel after a game of rugby. And a couple of the guys in the opposition team, I think, would have really enjoyed one. But, I've only got a couple more weeks. And then I'm home and free. Six Nations will be there. But, it was the first time I really did miss it. You know, I was there just having a peppermint tea. And everyone seemed to be having quite a good time. And I just left early, went home. Thought about what I was going to eat. Because the weekend, I burnt so many calories playing rugby. And normally, it's sort of like a cheat day. I had loads of eggs left in the house, so I just made this massive omelette, which actually took me quite a while to do, because I had to do it in two pans. So actually that kept me busy for most of the evening. So I saw various cheeses and fillings. I sort of chopped them up, pre-prepared everything before.
Right, okay.
It was quite fun because I had to put it together like a little jigsaw puzzle.
Right, okay.
It was quite fun. And then I ate it. I've got to be honest, it was probably more fun making it than actually eating it. But yeah, it did fill me up, to be fair, because I fasted the next day. I didn't eat the next day to Sunday till about 3 p.m. So it was a bloody good fast.
Are you worried you're losing your edge a bit? Are people pointing fingers you used to be this crazy guy full of stories and now you're making omelets?
I'm worried about losing my edge.
Yeah.
Mate, I'm doing Dry Jan, and actually that making that omelet was actually quite good banter. You had to be mate. Bloody good chat. Let's just move on, please.
Right, okay. Well, Arch, talking about your return to drinking, which we're all actually really looking forward to, a couple of weeks' time, beginning of Feb. Yeah.
Watch out, Clapham.
Yeah, watch out, Clapham.
Because I will be on it.
But also, watch out, Victoria, because on the 9th of February, when you're drinking, cocktails galore, which you get included in your ticket price, for our event, Rugbyers Live, first of the year, 2023, a mammoth year for us, and we're joined by a huge guest in Simon Shaw, Lions Wasp, England legend.
The first of many this year, live Rugbyers podcast. I'm sure many people who listen to this podcast have been to our live events. They do not disappoint.
Oh, they get loose.
There's a lot of audience participation.
There really is.
There's a lot of fun, and it's a good night. I tell you what, it is, one way to describe it, it's loose. The best way to describe our podcast is like being in Infernos,
yeah,
but like an informed Inferno session. So yeah, everyone's getting on it, but you're actually learning about someone's career.
You're being educated.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll obviously be imparting some of my wisdom on how to be successful in the city as well. Plus, it's just as loose as Infernos, but in a classy restaurant in Victoria.
Well, definitely.
And we've got our own room.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's we're gonna lock the doors and basically say, right, we're not getting out of here until we've all had a bloody good time. And I see a smile on your face.
Yeah. Well, I mean, running order roughly, you rock up, you get an incredible cocktail made by the award-winning restaurant 2018, voted London's best restaurant. Yeah. You
go 2018 was a really good year. People,
it really was.
That.
You go downstairs, that. You're joined by yourself. You deliver for the first time in 4 years since pre-pandemic your AAA, BBB, CCC course.
Yes.
Educate, as you were saying, and entertain. And then we're joined by Simon Shaw for a live Rebiz pod.
Sure. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, the guy's got some stories. Good guy.
Yeah.
You're a good guy. And then we'll be taking questions from the floor, and we'll be doing probably a lot of drinking games, and I'm planning on doing a tug of war and a 50 versus 50 boat race.
Well, if you guys want to get involved in that,
can you imagine that? 50 people versus 50 people.
That'd be
boat
crazy.
Race.
Yeah,
it'd be so good.
Imagine, yeah. But guys, if you want to get
write
involved,
down, I want to get a horn to like a race. So I'll be on your marks, get set. Instead of saying go, can we get a horn? Put it in the budget.
Okay, I'll put it in the budget.
Yeah.
Well, guys, if you want to come along, please get your tickets now. They're only £15. Cocktails are £12 in their own right. So come along, 9th of Feb, 7 o'clock in Victoria. What a wonderfully centrally located place.
And I'll be honest, I don't think there are many tickets left.
No.
If people know, it is a good, good time.
So click on the link in the show notes and get your tickets now. Well, Archie, just before we get on our guest this week, I want to get your thoughts. Being a semi-professional player,
yep,
in Div 5
one
Southwest,
of the best to do.
Well, yeah, that's arguable. But I wanted to get your reaction, because from next season onwards, you're going to have to tackle from the hip and below through legally.
Yeah.
So what's your reaction to the RFU law changes?
Livid.
You're livid.
I don't know who is making these laws, no. Clodis, at the RFU. My gut feeling is that somebody from Putney who plays hockey has infiltrated the RFU and is sabotaging the sport I love.
Possibly.
I just don't understand it. They are going to ostracise a certain group of people. They're trying to make the game quicker.
Yeah, which I thought you'd love.
It suits me. Someone who's, you know, 6'2" and an absolute chassis.
Yeah.
But it's going to ostracise the props, the locks, you know, the ugly folk that play rugby. And, you know, the only thing that will happen is that they will no longer be interested in the game. There won't be a place for them. And they'll probably end up in Sainsbury behind the counter serving cold meat. I mean, they just have got no thought about what rugby is. It's a game for every shape and size. And they're having an absolute shocker. And if they don't change it, they're going to have me to answer about. This is a friendly shot.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
It's a friendly shot of fire. Well, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll hope they overturn the decision. If not, be prepared, because I will put in my diary every week a 2-hour power hour session, and I'll be calling them till I get through to the right people, the right stakeholders to make the decision.
Well, RFU, you have been warned.
You can see how angry I am.
You've been warned. Yeah. They're shivering their boots.
That's just friendly fire. They'll listen to this, and I'm hoping they'll overturn it and listen. But if they don't, well, we'll see.
Okay,
we'll see.
We're talking.
We are a powerful podcast.
We are. Third biggest in the world. We're talking about free running rugby. Our guest this week is incredible, Rory Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
Ex-Scotland Wasps
and Quins. That's made me happy.
And
yeah,
Glasgow.
Good guy. Yeah.
You guys met the legend, Paul?
Met Rory. And, you know, one thing I took away from Rory is that if I was Scottish, I would have probably got about 70 to 100 caps for Scotland.
Right.
I mean, we are very similar in stature. Look, I'm better looking, and he would admit that.
Yeah.
And I'm in probably better shape, even when he was playing international rugby. I'm still in better shape than he was. But he's a really good guy, and I think this will be a lot of banter. I think all that's left to do is like just lob me the ball from 9, and I'll spiral kick it over to him, and let's just ignite this chat. Rory, can you hear us? Welcome to Chateau de la Chat.
Hello.
Welcome.
Here he is. He's looking wonderful. Slightly grainy, but wonderful.
Yeah, that is...
I don't know what's going on.
The camera...
internet up in Scotland, I think.
Well, we are delighted to be joined, of course, by ex-Scottish international Rory Jackson. Rory, welcome to the podcast. 2023, a new year. How's it all going?
Not too bad. Pretty wet and cold up in Scotland, but that's normal for a new year up here. So But yeah, life's all good.
No, we had a bit of Scottish weather down in Clapham this weekend, actually. Rather wet and windy. Certainly not good conditions to play touch on the common. I did actually send out a little message on the Clapham notice board just saying, if you are going to play touch, do make sure you wear rugby boots because it is pretty slippy out there.
Rory, were you aware of Archie Curzon before he hassled you at the Legends Ball? And how were you, sort of, how surprised were you that they let him in the room with, you know, sort of legit legends such as yourself?
Well, I was, when I saw him walking through the hall, I was very surprised. He was with guys that I knew, so that was sort of the introduction there. But I will sadly and say that I did know of Archie before. I have followed him, some of his antics. I don't want to blow up his head too much, but I'm a bit of a fan. And I heard your podcast with I think it was Max Evans. You did one of the first ones.
Yeah.
Naughty boy.
Oh,
naughty
Maxie.
Boy.
Yeah. He's having a hell of a time in Portugal, isn't he? He is a rather chatty individual, I will tell you that. Well, he does not stop chatting.
He was taking that stuff you were taking in Christmas, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he takes a lot of pre-workout. Yeah. Let me tell you, he is on he's on a lot of pre-workout.
But brother.
I saw Rory at the Legends Ball. I mean, there are countless legends in the room. Myself, Rory, Jason Robinson, yeah. Alex Goose. I don't know about you, Rory, but I was saying to Freddie, how boring was Dan Carter? I mean, wow, that was a snooze fest, wasn't it?
Yeah, I left for that. I went out for a little time out.
Yeah.
During that, went on a wee bit.
Yeah, but it was great to meet another fellow fly half, another guy who's, you know, it's quite similar stature. You know, we're quite svelte guys.
Well, you and Jacko?
Yeah, me and Jacko. Yeah. And we just discussed, a lot of ruggers. We talked about getting the ball on the line and opening up, you know, gaps, holes, everything. Yeah, well, it was great fun.
Did you guys have an opportunity to talk about business? Because obviously both of you are now working in some form in the booze industry. Yeah. Archie's got his own lager company, Morlash. You're working for a whiskey company and a gin company as well. So how's business been going? Have there been any opportunities to collaborate between the two of you?
No, but it's certainly something we maybe need to look at, I think. I've got my own gin business, so Garden Shed Drinks Company, and then I'm working for a whiskey company as well up here called the Glen Turret. Working with, I sort of look after our private clients and do that. So I'm down in London a fair bit, and hence it was one of my clients that took me to the Legends Ball. I wasn't invited.
Oh, so you weren't actually a legit legend. That's
In my eyes, Rory is a legend.
Yeah. I just keep it humble. I don't want to brag about it.
Who invited you to that?
I was invited by the ball. They said to me, this is legit. They said Dan Carter was the legend that year.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how boring he was. I will just reiterate that. Good guy. Love to get him on the podcast for the listenership, you know, because that would bring in a lot
good
of
numbers.
Hits. My God, we'd have to edit that. That would be tough. It just monotone. But they said to me, listen, if Dan Carter can't make it, can we talk about your career, your life? I said, yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people said to me, get him up there. Because I would have taken that room by surprise. I would have got them going.
Talking about, you know, two famous influencers, two famous fly halves working in the booze industry. Rory, when you joined Glasgow back in 2006, you were second choice fly half behind Dan Parks, of all people. How much competitive beef did you have between the two of you? Because obviously you're both fighting for both club and international recognition there. And he had an incredibly boring game. I mean, he was famous for being one of the most boring fly halves, and you were the opposite, full of attacking flair. So how did that work out?
Yeah, it was good. I was young, so I wouldn't say I was desperate for, I mean, I wanted to play and start, obviously, but I was sort of learning the ropes, and he was, although he's maybe his game was a bit more on the sort of percentage side of things, he was a bloody good bloke and would have some cracking stories if you wanted an interesting guy for the pod.
Yeah.
So he's a great guy, took me under his wing a wee bit. The fact that his game was so different from mine was meant that I could probably learn from him to add some things to my game. But yeah, I was certainly, my mindset was very different to his in the way we sort of played the game. But I think probably worked quite well in the fact that we could almost play two different styles depending on what they wanted. And as I got a wee bit more experienced and we were competing for the Scotland stuff, maybe got a bit more competitive, but there was still no animosity. We're both lovers, not fighters. So we just sort of tried to help each other. And worst case, we went for some beers afterwards.
But let's go back quickly to your career, because you made your Heineken Cup debut against Bath, which is Archie's favourite club.
Yeah.
In a game which turned out to be a narrow loss, but your performance really put you on the map individually. But also Tom Evans was a sort of a star that day, scored a hat-trick in what turned out to be a near loss. Forget the game. What was Tom Evans like on that night out? I mean, how badly behaved was he compared to Max, or, you know, who was the worst?
Both pretty similar, to be fair. Obviously, both good looking, in very good shape characters. Both like a dance, both like a drink. And so they sort of took the Glasgow scene by storm. There weren't many characters like that up in Glasgow at that time. So they certainly enjoyed themselves and did pretty well out of it. But yeah, obviously Tom is settled down pretty well. done all right for himself, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's certainly enjoying life. I don't know him as Tom Evans. I just know him now as Nicole Scherzinger's boyfriend.
Yeah,
that's his title, and that's a title you should be bloody proud of. And Max has done incredibly well, because I know you listen to Pod. Max, you're doing bloody, you know, with Deborah, who is a phenomenal human being and a lovely, lovely dancer. If you need something to entertain you in the evenings, I highly recommend going on Deborah's TikTok.
Oh, it's a good fun.
She's got some bloody good TikToks.
Is
yeah,
good?
She is. Yeah, for me, one of the best TikTok dancers out there. She is doing bloody well, and that's not an easy thing to do. And Max sometimes appears. He's very, very, he's got some nimble feet, as you'd imagine, as a wing would. But lovely, lovely combination they've got there.
Well, obviously you were playing with the Evans brothers, but come on, give it to us straight. Greg Laidlaw said they were both like pretty messy in a night out. But I mean, was there anyone who could rival them in that squad?
I played in a fun era for Glasgow. My first block. We were obviously shit when I first joined. I think we finished like second bottom, and we're battling sort of the Connets and the Dragons of the world. And then we went on a bit of a crazy run and became very successful, but we were still in an era where there wasn't too much social media, and social life was still a big part of it. I remember my first few years, we played Friday, every Friday. It was almost like a part-time job in a sense. We'd play Friday, have Saturday, Sunday off, then we'd be in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off, Thursday team run, and then Friday you play again. So you sort of, it was an amazing gig. Yeah, we had some good nights out, and there was some very messy individuals. There was when I was young, there was a guy, Andy Newman, who you might not know. He was a big sort of Welsh English second row, big dirty bastard. We'd sort of lead the charge early on. There was some good characters in terms of creating good social nights. So I know Archie's a bit of a social sec. So a guy, Sam Pinder, was probably, he was a Kiwi guy, played scrum half. He came up with some incredible socials for us. So we could probably give you a few good ideas for your Clapham Falcons if you wanted some new ideas. I lived, and we had, and also throughout my career, I was part of a few famous social nights that made the press as well, but I kept well away, obviously.
It's a shame, because I had a bit of that era where there was no social media, and all I can say is, you know, during that time where people weren't taking photos, now, you know, I can't go anywhere in Clapham without someone snapping me. But in those times, I definitely get my dick out a lot more.
Well, talking about messy nights, you know, you obviously played alongside Ryan Wilson for many years, not mentioning the occasion when he was arrested for assault dressed as Batman. We'll leave that for another time. But what's the sort of the other craziest thing you've witnessed him do? Because he claims he's messy in a night out, but were you there when he lit himself on fire, or was that bullshit?
If he's claiming he lit himself on fire, that might be a different night. But there was we did have a social night. No, he lit somebody else on fire. That's what it was. So he didn't light himself. I was there for that social. It was fancy dress, and there was a lad who was dressed as a sheep, as you do. So he was like, had all these little cotton balls put on him, but his partner decided to put hairspray on it for some reason to make it stay, or I don't know what. So Wilson decided to go up and light it, and he literally up in flames, and so obviously he was trying to fucking rip out of it, and didn't get any third degree burns, thankfully. But it was a bit of a scary night. No, Wilson's an absolute idiot on a night out, and just doesn't know how to stop. But his family are pretty. He comes from this family. I remember him talking about it, saying why he gets so drunk on nights out, and it's because his family are also wild as well. But they, when they're together, they have this pretty much unwritten rule that whoever is the most sober has to look after everyone. So everyone just writes themselves off because nobody wants to be that person left to look after them. And I remember one night, it was end of season, and his family were out, and we were in this bar, and Ryan was gone. He was absolutely disgraced. And I took him across to this pretty dodgy boozer just to try and like we'd got chucked out. So I was like, right, we'll go to the next place. I was like, I'm just going to get him a pint of water. And this dodgy old man's boozer wouldn't, they would refuse to serve him water because he was so drunk. And I was like, how the fuck can you get so drunk you can't get water at a bar? So eventually I got him to the club where all the boys were, chucked him in. I was like, I'm out. This is going to be a disaster. But.
Well, talking about getting into trouble, can you tell us about the time when the police visited your flat and would you close the curtains next time?
I knew this would come up. I saw Wilson on Saturday. He was like, yeah, are you going on the pod? I was like, yeah. He was like, yeah, they've been in touch. I was like, great. So I knew exactly what would come up. Yeah, when I was young, I was about 18, 19 in my first house down in Glasgow. And I lived with four other people. One of them was a girl and she was the only one in that day, so that's why she gets mentioned. But it was like the police came to the door and I was just like, okay, that's a bit weird. And they're like, have you got a room that has a window that overlooks Agenda Bar, which is like the bar across the road? And I was like, and I was just laughing. I was like, yeah, that's Muzz's room. So I was like walking up, but as I was walking past my room, I was like, oh shit, my window looks out as well. So I was like, does this look like the room? And they're like, yeah, that's the one that's sort of in the description. I was like, oh shit. I was like, that's my room. So they went in and they were like, think what you were doing a couple of hours ago. And I was like, yeah, yeah, I've got you. And they're like, computer window through. And I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah. I was like, just in my downtime, young guy, bit of time. And then the girl walks down who I'm living with and I don't really know her. She was just like, she's got a room through a friend. And she was like, oh, everything okay? What's going on? I was like, oh, nothing. They're just asking a few questions. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I was like, fuck that. I've been just whacking by a group of people in Agenda Bar. So yeah, I've closed the blinds ever since.
To be fair, it makes it way more exciting, I find. You know, because if you do get catched, it's a little bit naughty. Don't do it in your home. If you're listening to the pod, don't do it in public because that you do get in big trouble. Do it in the comfort of your own home because at least there's a loophole, legal loophole.
And draw the curtains or keep them open? A bit.
For me, if you're in good nick, you know, which Rory would have been at the time, and you know, you're manscaped, then why not? You know, it's probably quite exciting for people to see. It's in some ways, it's motivational.
Yeah. And also, he apparently had something to show off, which is very rare. Apparently, he's got the longest foreskin ever seen by man.
Who told you that?
Is that true?
Is that what you're showing off? I don't know if it's like in the official world records, but it's. I think.
Write that down. Let's try and get up the Rig Biz podcast up to Edinburgh, and let's go and measure that, and let's get the Guinness Book of Records there, and let's get it done. We've also got to come up when Greg Laidlaw's there because we want to measure him for a different reason because we think that could be the biggest in the world, apparently, which is quite extraordinary.
Yeah, considering his height to penis ratio is very good.
It's impressive. I said to him, put that on your bloody CV, mate, because that will get you far.
Well, he's doing well. In 2010, you did get your long way to debut for Scotland against the All Blacks of all people. Just tell us, you know, your overriding memories of that incredible day and also surely a messy initiation which followed in the evening.
I mean, it's bittersweet when you make your debut in a 40-point drubbing, but it was pretty cool. Like, obviously, mentioned the guy already, Dan Carter was playing, so as a 10, he is, even if he is a wee bit boring, he is an idol and one of the greatest to have played the game. So for me to play my first game for Scotland at Murrayfield against Dan Carter was pretty special. Don't think I had the initiation that night, but Scotland had this thing where everybody in the squad has to buy you a drink, and no matter what the drink is, you have to, like, so they drink it with you. So it'd be like if Archie was getting his debut for Scotland and I'd buy him a drink, it could be anything. Yeah. And we'd do a drink together.
Sounds so you end like up my Feb.
20. Yeah, it will be like your Feb, yeah. And so you end up doing like 20-odd drinks. So you end up pretty paralytic, to say the least. So it's, I can't remember if it was after that game or you wait until the end of the autumn to do it. But it's, yeah, it was pretty messy.
Commercial break. Hi there, it's Freddie Claude. You have reached my voicemail for some reason or t'other. I can't get to the phone. Please leave me a message and I will get back to you as soon as I can. Cheers.
Clodus?
It's Arch. How are you doing? Just trying to call you. Just wanted to talk you through this exceptional kettlebell class I just did. Honestly, it was phenomenal. Oh my God, I feel rejuvenated. You've got to come and do it. I used that app, Athlo. You know who's sponsoring our podcast? Well, I just went on the app and I found this class that I've been trying to get on for ages. And it's so hard to get on. But anyway, it came up and I used, hold on, mate. Johnny. Oh, sorry, mate. There's this guy, Johnny. He was in the class. I had never met him before. Really good guy. Seriously good nick. Had this amazing Under Armour hat that I wanted to find out where he got from. Love wearing a hat when I work out. Anyway, mate, you've got to get on that. You've got to get on that app, mate. It's unreal. You can get any gym, any classes. There's like so much stuff going on there. And it's all at the lowest prices. Mate, actually, you know what you should do? Use this voice note as an advert because it would be bloody good on the podcast. Right, I'm going to go and get a steam because I didn't just get the pass. I got the whole gym membership. So I could be here for the day and just work here. But to be honest, I absolutely love hanging out in the office. Anyway, mate, I'm going to go find that guy, Johnny. You'd love this guy, Johnny. I've got to find his surname. Got to connect with him.
Well, obviously, that Scotland side wasn't the most talented on the pitch, but they were talented off the pitch. Just give us a flavour of a couple of the big characters you were around in those old days.
I mean, you get some crazy ones, not necessarily on the drink, but just crazy individuals and weird individuals. But the best social ones, like Alan Jacobson with Chunk, who I don't know, Jim Hamilton we'll talk about. But then he was good pals with a guy, Scotty McLeod, who was a big second row, blonde hair from Hoyk. And it was actually my first ever Scotland camp when we were at the old course in St Andrews. So this isn't like a trip away, but we're in St Andrews, which is quite a quiet town anyway. And I'm excited. It's my first camp. I'm rooming with Alan Jacobson. And I get to bed. I go to bed about 11. He's not in the room. I'm like, what's going on? So I had the TV on for a bit and then I pass out. And then I get a knock on my door at like 4 a.m. and it's Nick DeLuca. And I'm just like, the fuck are you doing at 4 a.m? He's like, got his duvet in his box. He's like, right, I'm coming into the room with you. I was like, why? He's like, Chunk and Scooter are in my room. They've been out all night and they're now in my room snoring the fucking house down. I can't get any sleep. And we had training the next day. So here's me, this like excited little young kid. And I'm just like, got trained the next day and these guys are out on the piss. Like I was like, what? Is this what international rugby is about? I was like, it's probably why, one of the reasons why we maybe weren't so good. But they were very much from the old school and yeah, they still turned up for training and did the hard graft, but yeah, they enjoyed a drink.
Did you ever play with Simon Daniele?
Yeah, he's another good looking bastard. Yeah, as well. Yeah.
Mate, Chapman College.
A good friend of yours.
Yeah, I mean, he probably would know me now because I've got over 70,000 followers on Instagram.
Same generation?
Not same generation, but he was the guy you aspired to be at school. When you joined in third form, they were like, Simon Daniele was here. And you're like, Simon Daniele. But winger, big guy. I'd imagine he's pretty decent on night out.
Yeah, he is. He was prolific with the ladies. And he's still looking very good. I saw photos of him. He was out in Dubai this year at the Sevens.
Yeah.
Playing for this that stuff. And he was in still very good shape and still bloody good looking as well.
Yeah, well, that's what all counts. And you know what? That's what I hope to be when I retire, just people see me. And I will be posting a lot more topless photos. Because at the moment, as you know, Jacko, like when you're in rugby mode, you hold a little bit more timber because you have to. You have to be a bit bigger. But when I retire, I'm going to become a little bit more svelte. I'd probably just play a lot more golf and just concentrate on getting the rig. And then that will be me. I'll be topless in hot places playing golf.
Well, what about the business venture you were going to go into with Tim Visser?
Yeah, well, Tim Visser, then Tim started sending me messages saying to come to Holland to meet him. And I don't know, I just thought that was a bit of a weird thing to go down, yeah. To go and see him. And there, no chat about business, just come and see him in Holland by myself. And he was like, don't bring a laptop, don't bring anything, just bring a change of clothes. And I just thought, no, I'm okay, actually. I was like, you know, what? How much are you talking investment-wise? He's like, do not worry about that. Just come down, come and spend some time with me, and we will sort it out.
Yeah, don't trust him.
Yeah,
never trust the Dutch.
Is he quite good on the? He was quite good in the piss. He was good on the podcast.
Ah, he's weird, man. he's He's got no chat. I played with him at Quinn's and stuff as well, and I'm friends with him. I can still chat to him. But weird.
Yeah. Something's going on there.
Don't be stuck isolated with him. He just loves being naked. If you room with him, there's no clothes anytime.
Mate, write that down.
I'm going to go to baths at weird times. Yeah.
Write that down. Do you want to book your flight?
Yeah, book my flight.
Who was the weirdest roommate then? Obviously, you're talking about the old school where they'd go out on the pistol for Tim Vista would come in completely naked and try and make a move. But who was the weirdest sort of roommate you ever had?
Weirdest guy would be Jeff Cross, without a doubt. Tight head, really eccentric guy. Was like one of like 10 kids. Pretty successful. He's like a doctor now. He's a bright guy, but just so he grew up in this world where he's like absolute hoarder. So he'd be like stealing like the mini jams from like hotel rooms and stuff like that, taking tea bags, like just to save any sort of money. And you're just like weird guy. And again, another very naked bloke.
There's something wrong with people like that. I don't get that.
Especially props. You don't want to see.
There's someone in my office taking the loo roll, and I'm just like, look, if you're working here, you're on a high basic salary. Like, what is going on? Yeah. Is there something, other issues?
Have you had a sort of moment to?
Well, no. I did suggest it's from the girls' lavatory, and it's a big problem. And I did suggest putting cameras in there, but they've said you can't do that.
Rory, you obviously played.
But I just said put a little camera. By the seat, you know?
By the seat?
Yeah, because that's where the loo roll's kept. But they said, no. This is the world we live in. You can't put any cameras in loos anymore.
Oh, God.
Not like back in 2010, where you would be... That would be standard procedure in an office. Because that's good stuff.
Rory, obviously playing for Glasgow, you always seem to have beef with Munster. They're your big rivals. But did you not once lose at Ronan O'Gara? In a match because he was being incredibly lippy.
We beat them by 50 points one game, which was great delight. And he, like him and Donica, we were all like just giving it big licks constantly. And I remember like Ronan O'Gara telling like Al Kellogg being like, "I don't even know who you are," kind of thing. And you're just like, "What is that shit chat?" You just like, he'd probably be the one guy that I would give it back a wee bit to, because like generally I was pretty laid back and just sort of took things as they came. But yeah, Ronan Guy was probably one that would probably rile me to the point where I'd like to get in his face and give him some shit.
Well then, Rory, you put your Glasgow rivalries to bed as you moved down south to London to go play for Wasps and then for Harlequins. But starting at Wasps, you were playing the legendary team with Haskell, Charles, Peter Thau, George Smith, just legends of the game. How was that incredible experience off the pitch? Because obviously on the pitch, you were injured for quite a lot of it.
it was a good time again. That team was star-studded, but they also all really good crack. And my first year was obviously, I tore my ACL, so I was out for the whole season, which meant I did spend a bit of time in Infernos. But it was awesome. They had a really good culture at that time, even though it was full of superstars. Everyone was just enjoyed each other's company. We had, again, there was another infamous team night out that made the papers on that one.
Was that the boat trip? Can you tell us what happened on the boat trip, please?
just what was written about in the press.
Oh, we wouldn't read the papers.
There was it got blown out of proportion. My mum phoned me. She'd read the paper. She was like, "I'm absolutely disgusted with you. I can't believe you all this." I was like, "Don't believe everything you read in the papers." but some of it probably did happen. But
I love
but
my no, mum to call me.
You're okay.
Sorry,
bro. Karen,
we're going to go down an emotional rabbit hole. Sorry. but no, it was a bit of a crazy night. But it was just one of these ones where it probably got taken too far on this boat, and because of some of the stature, some of the players that were involved, there was a bit of an opportunity there, and I think it got all of it crazy. But it was.
What they should have done is got Haas to go on Good Morning Britain the next morning and just sort it all out.
Clean it up.
Just clean it all up.
We're talking about cleaning up.
Or just use his new book, The Four Core Pillars.
Yeah.
And he would have used one of the pillars to clean it up and sort it out.
Well, we're talking about cleaning up though. Was it not feces and prostitutes?
No, I don't think that.
Feces, at least.
Yeah, but that's rugby. I rarely have a night out without someone shitting in my hand.
Okay. Yeah, there was some young boys that had a show that they wanted to impress everyone with, and it didn't quite go to plan, and there might have been an accident.
Yeah.
Okay. And there wasn't a prostitute. There might have been a female entertainer, but she wasn't.
Yeah, but that's great. I love entertainers, men, women, anyone, you know, in this world. And yeah, is that I always on a night out social always bring some kind of form of entertainment.
Yeah.
Well, in a form of a human.
Yeah.
I guess sometimes against their will. But I pay them.
Rory, obviously you weren't lucky with your injury there, but you formed up a really strong bond with friend of the show Joe Simpson. Firstly, why did you call him Picky?
it was something I won't reveal the whole story, but it's something to do with sending pictures and whether somebody received the Picky or not, and it sort of all got out. And it's when he was back in his Lothario days, when he maybe had a bit more hair and he settled down, he was quite relentless with the girls. And yeah. A story got out with it, one of his conversations with a girl, I think.
One of his pictures.
Yeah, I'm always sending. I think it's the best way these days. It's so much more to the point. I normally now just open up a Tinder conversation just with a photo.
But you're not worried about the pictures going leaked?
Of me, just like I'm in my budgie smugglers and I'm just looking like down there. Like that, and it's right. Just like, and then it just a little note saying, "Hey, babe."
But after what happened with the
paper, with the Gazette, that wasn't me. That wasn't me.
Leaks.
No.
You're
that wasn't. I
that
can tell you now,
again?
That was not me. I am. Look, I'm not Greg Laidlaw, but I am. I'm big. I tell you, and that's on my CV. Big guy. I don't say like I've got a big penis because that you can't put that on the CV. You wouldn't get a job interview. But I just say I fill out a pair of budgie smugglers pretty well. read into it as smart. You will. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Well, Rory, obviously some great socials. We talked about some illegal, some not. But can you tell us about what happened in the change rooms of the Ryder Cup, Room River Run?
Yeah, Jesus Christ. I do have some... Well, I don't know why I'm always involved in these. that was another great, great social. So we there must have been a down week or something, and we finished at midweek. And so we there was four changing rooms in Acton, and so it was like D, E, and whatever. So there was a rivalry between E and F. So we did a Ryder Cup, ran the River Run, and as social happened, started getting pretty drunken. And there was a few drink-offs, obviously, and actually Joe Simpson, who was a terrible drinker, managed to beat Phil Swainston, tight head prop, so... took great delight in winding up Sueno about it. And then so he challenged him again and then lost again. And so boy's getting stuck into him and he sort of loses his head a bit, grabs Joe's shirt, rips his shirt, and it's a bit like, oh, what's going on? And then another prop took dislike to it. He was in our changing room, so obviously rivalry anyway, and sort of cheap shotted him a bit, and fell off like a ledge that was must have been like no more than an inch, and he falls. And he's like, God, like in pain, and we're all just like, shut up, stop being a soft guy, just like you're faking it, stop milking it. Ends up, he goes to hospital, he's fractured his ankle. There's no way of hiding the fact we'd gone out on a social when we weren't meant to be, and so we get called into a meeting on the Monday morning, and everyone's just all sheepish, just like that, and they're like, so anybody going to. To tell us the story, and then eventually it sort of we admitted it, but we all got, you know, docked wages and stuff like that just for going on a social. But
was that the era of Sean Edwards and Gats or not?
Thankfully not. No, so it was Dai Young, who's pretty old school and scary anyway. But thankfully no Sean Edwards going around headbutting people.
We've heard that George Smith is possibly the number one drinker of all time. Is that true?
He's pretty impressive. He plays hard and drinks hard. He's a great bloke.
Can you write that down? Love to have want to have a drink off with him. I'm just trying to arrange that for a weekend when I'm not busy.
Okay. Obviously,
tell him to get on a Zoom because I think he's in Australia, but I'll sit there for 12 hours and see if we'll go drink, see what happens.
Obviously, you were the
Also, can you just write down, call my mum?
Tweet your mum.
Because I remember what Rory was saying earlier and I just want to... Obviously, reach out to her.
Obviously, you
haven't spoken to her since Christmas. No.
Okay, well then, Rory. Obviously,
just want to say to her because she's got a new boyfriend and it has been difficult. And yeah. You know, I don't want to go into. I'm not going to say anything about my family on here because it's a public forum. Yeah. And you wouldn't.
You don't want to be like Prince Harry.
Don't want to be. You don't want to be. You know, laundering your laundry out in public. But yeah, you know. Just pick a note. I want to call
her. Nice if she got back in touch and wish you.
Okay. It's just this difficult idea. I just say one thing about the family. Sorry, Rory. I know we're interviewing you, but I just one thing I'll clear up. Freddie, there's one big thing. I was going to go to a wedding. It was a family friend. And there was this big ordeal about me having a moustache. So I went and spoke to my grandmother, who's like the matriarch of our family. And I just said, Granny, look, do you mind? I have a moustache, but it, you know, it is just, it's me. It's the new me. You know, it's the top lip banter. She was fine with it. But my brother, Hector, was a bit annoyed by it all and told me to shave it off. And I just want to say, if you're a moustache man, you'd understand.
Well, Rory used to be a moustache
man. Yeah, exactly. You understand.
I was I was going to say, it's disappointing to see your recent new look without. I know it's sort of coming back slowly.
It's slowly coming back, but it's just one of those things.
No, big advocate for my stepdashes. Yeah.
And I don't,
obviously, I've got a bit of a beard just now. But
Well, you'd understand with Prince Harry, the beard man. Yeah, you know, he wanted to have a beard for his wedding. It was tough. Anyway, don't worry about it. Sorry, just make
it
carry on. Okay. Sorry, it's not about me.
No,
this is
course.
An interview but with a 33-time Cats international fly half. I am merely just a guy who, you know, is, yeah.
You're
some
sad.
Might say.
You're unhappy.
2023's hottest property on Instagram. They say this could be my year blow up.
Mentally, you okay though?
Well, me or the rugby guy, I don't know. But the rugby guy is bloody good. Have you seen the goose step stuff he does? That is good. I like that. That's very funny. Okay. Yeah, it's very funny. Okay.
Well,
and it's just a little goosey. And then it's family fun.
When you moved to Harlequins, was Jamie Roberts the most boring person you ever played alongside?
Probably. Yeah, I spent a lot of time with Jamie because we lived quite near each other.
What, in Putney?
he was Wandsworth, but I was Putney. Yeah.
What?
Rory, it's been going so well. Please don't tell me you go to fairs sometimes.
I never went to fairs.
Okay, that's fine. Fine, we can crack on.
It was just a place to cover my head. It was roofing
that's
my
fine.
Head.
It was business really. I won't take it personally.
Does he have chat? Or does he have no chat? Does he have chat? Or does he have no chat? Does he have no chat? Gonna ask those questions now. So let's stop Stuart Hogg.
No chat.
Finn Russell.
Chat.
Joe Simpson.
Kind of chat. Semi chat.
James Haskell.
Over the top chat.
Greg Laidlaw.
He's all right. Chat.
Tim Visser.
No chat.
Mike Brown.
No chat.
Chris Robshaw.
No chat.
Johnny Gray.
No chat.
Ali Price.
No chat.
And Adam Hastings.
Chat. I'm better for that. I feel I've been too negative.
Well, Rory Jackson, you've been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for giving me your time. And we're looking forward to seeing you down for England, Scotland, go for a couple of whiskies and, really get two legends together again.
Cheers, RJ. Love and champagne, my friend. Cheers. Love and champagne. Bye.
Thanks a lot, Rory.
Mate. Appreciate it.
What an absolute legend. That's all about him getting caught by the police wanking. That's rugby.
That is very rugby. He's a good guy. The best way to describe Rory, he is like a Costco version of me.
Costco.
And that's a very...
It's a bit rude.
No, it's not. It's a compliment. I mean, to be in the same breath as me, I think for him, is a massive compliment. Really good guy. Thoroughly enjoyed that. And once again, we've just had a phenomenal guest. This pod is the pod that keeps giving.
LinkedIn loving. Tell you how much cash I made today. LinkedIn loving. I'm off to the wall, see.
Oh, that is a really good theme tune.
Well, mate, because 2 weeks ago we started the section, but we forgot to put in the new theme tune. And there it was. I hope you enjoyed it.
When we had our weekly one-to-one, that's something I did raise.
You didn't mention
it to fans, but every week we have a one-to-one where I give you feedback and you let yourself down. Because one thing you are good at is doing theme tunes.
Theme tunes. It's basically my niche.
I said to you, you could go a long way in the theme tune world.
I could do. Well, fingers crossed I will.
Let me know if you want me to introduce people. I know a lot of people in that world.
I will do it. I'll hold you to that. But let's have a look at your network, because obviously this is LinkedIn. You've got over 10,000 connections, which is incredible. You know them all by name, you know them all. So we've been through your LinkedIn over the last week and seen what some of your connection status have been, and I want you to react to them, good or bad.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Let's start off with Matt Swain.
Oh, okay. Just, I do know that. I do know him. I do know him. What? Where's he work again?
He's a creative, distinct personal brander for a high-profile net worth company.
Right. Doesn't sound like someone I'd be connected with, but okay.
Anyway, he says, here's a copy of my CV. You may struggle to read it, and that's because I don't have one. CVs are outdated, they all look and feel the same, and they don't really demonstrate what someone is really capable of. They're pretty boring too. With social media, especially LinkedIn, are they needed at all?
Yes, they are. A CV is the backbone of this country. You know, many of the prime ministers wouldn't have got the job without a bloody strong CV. Can I unfollow that guy immediately? You know what's boring?
What?
His chat. Okay. Bin him off.
Okay.
Then, awful bloke.
Then we move
probably,
on.
Probably supports Corbyn.
Then we move on to Joshua Tharby.
Farmers. I know Farmers. Yeah, yeah. I think if I know Farmers as well as I do, he's going to have some bloody good chat. Does he work in banking of some sort?
Investing in tax. Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing about him. He bloody loves investing.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Anyway, there's a photo.
He doesn't have an off switch.
There's a photo.
You go out with him on the weekend and he's talking to you about other things you can invest in.
There's a photo of him on LinkedIn in a British Airways first class seat, and he's just put a status, weekends are for the week. If you're not at your full potential in terms of income, fitness and wealth, you don't deserve the days off.
Wow. That is inspirational.
Do you like that?
Wow. Yeah, yeah. Can you read that again, but put some music to it? Ideally some Hans Zimmer.
Weekends are for the week. If you're not at your full potential in terms of income, fitness and wealth, you don't deserve the days off.
My God, I'm crying.
You
that
crying?
Is beautiful.
Well, let's finish off with one more from Isabel.
Will it get better than what we just had?
I don't know. You'll have to be the judge of that. That's why we're playing the game. But this one's from Isabel Cowell.
Oh, I think I've had a date with her. I think I met her on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I think you may have done. She's a nice little blonde girl.
Where does she work again?
Carugo, but she's had a social, building powerful brands.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Sounds like a cheeky. I'd be interested.
Hi, I'm Izzy. I'm 22. I'm a bit young for you.
No, not at all. I always imagined my wife to be younger than me.
Okay, well, she says, hi, I'm
Izzy. My dad always says, the younger they are, the younger you feel.
Well, she says, hi, I'm Izzy, I'm 22 and I don't work hard. In fact, I would be considered extremely lazy by 80% of people on here. I don't work at weekends. I don't go to the gym 6 times a week. I don't post every day on socials. I don't exclusively read self-development books. And you know what? I actually do, brackets, you're going to freak out, have a 2-hour nap on a Friday evening after a long week. Sometimes I spend my lunch breaks on TikTok. Sleep in until 11 a.m. on a Sunday. Watch movies on a weeknight. And you know what? I'm still doing okay. I'm still achieving my goals. I'm still creating a career I love. You don't have to sacrifice anything or everything to create the life you want. It's all about balance.
Sounds like she needs some help. That is quite worrying. She put that on LinkedIn. Firstly, her career prospects will go down the drain, and her dating prospects will probably go down the drain as well on LinkedIn. It sounds like she really does need some help. So if anyone knows Izzy, please do point her in the direction of a good psychotherapist.
Will Archie, you did predict this icy snap was going to come, and I'm going to have to let you back into it very shortly. But before I do, thank you so much for coming. It was wonderful. Rory was wonderful.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Clovis. We are on a roll, and it's only the beginning of 2023. I am so excited to share some of the extraordinary things we're going to be getting up to, especially Six Nations time. We've got a few things up our sleeves.
We do indeed. We've got some lovely little treats for the listeners. But I mean, why are you getting out? Where are you going?
I'm off. I've got to get to Waitrose before it closes. All right. I'm cooking
another
up. No. I'll probably do that this weekend though. But no, I'm just going to have chicken, spinach and some scrambled egg tonight. But I'm completely out of everything. And the nanny wants me to get her a pizza. So I better go to the shops. All right, listen, mate. Love and champagne.
Have a good one, mate. I'll see you next week.
Take care.
And she gets jealous when I'm away. I've got nothing else left to say.
gets jealous when I